seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket at will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Happy day after 4th of July. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, welcoming you in to another edition of Drive Time Sports. I can't really say happy Independence Day. July 5th, but it is a holiday, so as we typically do on holidays, we're going to play the best of Drive Time Sports, and we'll go just as recent as last week here on the show. We did talk a lot of local, we talked a lot of national, talking a lot of baseball right now, be it the Trevor Bauer saga that's going on right now with the big leagues, or All-Star selections. I'll tell you, the Oakland A's, they've been one of my favorite teams to watch all season long. I picked them to come out of the American League at the beginning of the year. This team is wildly entertaining. One All-Star, Matt Olson, that's it. Come on. It's one of the best teams in baseball. The Los Angeles Dodgers, they did get three All-Stars. Not a single starter and not a single pitcher. Yeah, two of the best teams in baseball kind of getting the shaft. As far as the starters are concerned, hard to argue. I mean, the National League is so loaded when it comes to position players. And of course, if we're talking pitchers, I mean, Jacob deGrom's in a world of his own. But really, some of the better teams in baseball kind of getting the shaft, in my opinion, as far as the selection process went. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk some high school golf. We're not that far off from the start of the fall high school sports season. It's actually right around the corner. It starts with golf. Carbon, Emory, both should be very competitive. The Dinos returning the state champ individually in Bodie Salas. We talked to Coach Robbie Etzel about that last week on Drive Time Sports. So we're going to talk a lot of baseball. We'll talk Trevor Bauer. We'll talk local golf. That's all straight ahead right here on the best of Drive Time Sports on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Again, celebrating a 4th of July weekend. That's coming up next when we return.
According to the American Heart Association, 475,000 Americans die from cardiac arrest each year. Picture the faces of those you love and imagine you being in a position where their life was on the line and there is nothing you could do to stop them from becoming just another part of that statistic. Now imagine you have the power to save them. Carbon County Recreation is offering a CPR class on Saturday, June 12th from 9 to 11 a.m. that can help you save a life. It's $40 per person. For more information, call 636-3214.
When you come to Castle Valley Orthodontics, patients can find a full range of dental braces and aligners, from traditional braces to newer options such as Invisalign or clear braces. Clear or invisible braces offer treatment that is more convenient and less noticeable than traditional metal brackets. Castle Valley Orthodontics believes that everyone deserves a straight and healthy smile, and that's why they make braces affordable. Call the Castle Valley Orthodontics team today for a no-obligation consultation at 435-637-2222.
The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And that can only mean one thing. Spring has sprung, and it's time to get your family and friends together. Leave the jackets home and get to Gateway Lands. Gateway has open bowling Monday through Saturday, and the snack bar is open. Times for open bowling are Monday through Thursday, noon to 5:30, and noon to close on Friday and Saturday. Gateway Lanes, 94th South Main in Helper.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're approaching what hopefully is a three-day weekend for you, and there's plenty to talk about. I know there's going to be plenty of Major League Baseball over the weekend as well. NBA games are sporadic at best over the next few days, but Major League Baseball is going to be fairly consistent as we prepare for the All-Star break, which is right around the corner. In fact, the All-Star game starters have been announced. And like every year, there's always a list of snubs, some surprises. The Houston Astros, one of the best teams in Major League Baseball, they do not have a starter on the AL All-Star squad. The Los Angeles Dodgers, who are on pace for 100 wins, they do not have a starter on the All-Star squad. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the Trevor Bauer situation and more right now. Joining us over the phone to get into that, we have a great friend of mine, Steve Bordstein. Steve, as always, a pleasure. I appreciate the time today.
Oh, very much so. I appreciate it as well. Thanks for having me on.
Well, let's start by talking about Trevor Bauer. A statement from Major League Baseball earlier today saying that Bauer has been placed on 7-day administrative leave. Now, this is effective immediately. Bauer is with the team right now in Washington. He was scheduled to pitch on Sunday. Dave Roberts made some comments yesterday that a lot of people in the media did not like when he said the plan is to start him on Saturday. It's kind of out of our hands. Look, that was a politically correct way of Dave Roberts saying he's not going to play because baseball is going to send down either A, a suspension, or B, administrative leave. And that's exactly what happened today. Now, with all this being said, we wait for the next development in this case. When you're talking about the second largest media market in the country and the highest paid player in the game, this is a big story. It's a big deal. And it could be something that we look back on 10 to 15 years from now and remember with cringeworthy reactions.
And I think you mentioned it a moment ago about the wealth factor of this. Second biggest media market in America, highest paid player in the game. Okay, if you're the highest paid professional at whatever job it is you have, chances are you've got a bookkeeper, an accountant, a driver, someone who knows someone, who knows someone, who knows someone, who might be into the sort of thing that apparently Trevor Bauer might be sort of into. That's the best way to go about that sort of private, intimate setting. You don't do it the way he did it, which is apparently he found he was a follower of this particular person on Instagram through Facebook. They exchanged some rather amateurish text messages to one another, and then apparently they had a couple of hookups. And the key to this is a couple of hookups, because if you read her account of the situation, she was so horrified and so physically tormented by what happened on their first meeting that she went back voluntarily 2.5 hours from where he was at the first time and 2.5 hours away from where he was the second time. She went back for more. So, again, there's a whole bunch of different factors, and the fact that we have text messages from both of them in which neither person really sounds like they were horrified or bothered or offended in any way by the incidents that took place. Now, again, the ins and outs of these things I don't care about, because I'm not a person who feels it's necessary as a private citizen to really indulge myself in what people do in the privacy of their own homes, their own hotel rooms, whatever. What you do is what you do. Barring something criminal here, which I don't see in the evidence, I think this is nothing more than a salacious story that comes out about a professional athlete who just happens to have a lot of money and a woman. And it doesn't have to be men or women. But men do the same thing. We find situations in society where, you know, where a rich person is always going to be under scrutiny for what have you. Is it embarrassing? Absolutely. Is it the last thing the LA Dodgers need as they continue this East Coast trip right now with a 4-game set against Washington, followed by another 4-game set, I believe it's against Miami? Does the Dodgers need this? Absolutely not. Does Major League Baseball need it with the All-Star game approaching? Absolutely not. Is it embarrassing on all those levels? Yes, absolutely it is. Is it criminal-worthy? I don't think that. I think we're a long way from finding that out. And unfortunately now, because of this 7-day administrative leave, it sort of puts the investigators under a bit of a time stretch and under a bit of a time consideration right now, because if any other continuation of a 7-day administrative leave would have to get the approval of Major League Baseball's Players Association. I don't see that happening unless there's criminal charges being filed.
It's a really bizarre time for something like this to pop up as well, especially when you start reading the ins and outs of it. This dates all the way back to May, and so Trevor Bauer and the Dodgers, you would think, had to have been aware of this investigation going on for a while. But Steven, Major League Baseball, this is not the first instance of something like this that we have seen, especially as of late. I mean, look at the Los Angeles Dodgers. Julio Urias went through this in 2019, served a 20-game suspension. Aroldis Chapman went through this in 2016. In fact, he'd agreed to a a deal with the Dodgers, which they had voided out because of the domestic violence. Roberto Osuna, this happened to him back in 2018. He received a 75-game suspension. Marcelo Ozuna just happened to him as well with the Atlanta Braves. And so this is not something that is uncommon in Major League Baseball. And there actually is, I don't want to say parameter, but there is history is where you can look at this and say, okay, this may be what's coming for Trevor Bauer in the future.
Well, and let's not forget that this is also going on currently in the National Football League. You've got the Deshaun Watson situation. You've got several NFL players who have gone through this. And let's go back in time. I believe we're on the anniversary, if not the weekend of the anniversary, of the Kobe Bryant incident from 20 years ago in Aspen, Colorado. So, look, this is not a unique story. This is just yet another sad tale of people in their personal lives doing things that maybe you and I would not otherwise do or not otherwise, engage in. But again, I don't know what Trevor Bauer's like in his personal life. I don't care to know what Trevor Bauer's like in his personal life as a baseball fan. And yes, particularly as a Dodgers fan, all I want him to do is throw strikes. So the sooner this gets over with, and if he's proven to be not guilty of anything of malfeasance, then let's get this through. And if he is guilty of something in malfeasance, then let the process play itself out, and we'll move on from that. Now, you mentioned the Aroldis Chapman thing and the fact that the Dodgers voided out of a contract. Dodgers are in a bit of a position, too, because you're paying this guy for at least another year. He's a player option on his contract, so chances are the Dodgers would have to spend a pretty penny if they were to distance themselves from Trevor Bauer, barring for the criminal. So there's a lot of different storylines to all this, and I think we're way jumping the gun on any sort of disciplinary action on this right now beyond an administrative leave, which was the appropriate thing for Major League Baseball to do.
Again, our guest right now, Steve Bortstein, as we talk Major League Baseball. Let's move over to the All-Star Game. There's been controversy with this as well, with it being moved from Atlanta, now to Denver, Colorado at Coors Field. However, the All-Star Game starters were announced yesterday. As I mentioned going into this segment, there were no starters for the Dodgers or the Astros. We're talking about the two top teams in Major League Baseball right now. And I know that people love talking about the snubs. And Steve, look, I'm going to be honest. When I look at the Dodgers roster, outside of Max Muncy, I don't think that you could truly make a case for any other Dodger being a starter. I mean, I love Mookie Betts, don't get me wrong, but Jesse Winker, Nick Castellanos, and Ronald Acuna have been heads and tails above any other three outfielders in Major League Baseball, in the National League for sure so far this season. The biggest snub I see when I take a look at the All-Star Game starters would probably have to be Alex Bregman. And I know that Bregman's actually from your neck of the woods, so you're familiar with him inside and out of the Houston Astros, and it pains me to say anything positive about somebody from the Houston Astros. But Bregman, in my mind, seems to be the biggest jolt, the biggest snub as far as All-Star starters are concerned.
And, everyone loves to do the snub thing. Everyone loves to talk about the guy that didn't make it. How about the guy that did make it? And that's Buster Posey. How does he get the spot over Yadier Molina and Wilson Contreras? I mean, I get it. Buster Posey's a great story. He's on the top team in the National League West by a half game right now. I get that. But, I'm still a Molina fanatic. I think he's one of the best catchers I've ever watched play the game. Wilson Contreras is having a phenomenal season. He opted not to play in 2020, Buster Posey, last season. So, his production has been up this year because he didn't play in 2020. But I love the idea that we focus in on the snubs, but we don't focus in on sometimes the players that you look at and go, yeah, but did he really deserve it? And to the Max Muncy point, Freddie Freeman absolutely deserves to be the starter at first base for the National League. And you mentioned, no Dodgers on the starting rotation, starting on the starting roster. Okay, Bellinger missed, 40 games, I think, so far this year? He's missed 35 games, 40 games so far this year. Betts missed 20 games. Seager's not playing right now. He's going to miss at least 30 more. He's going to miss 30 games. So the Dodgers snubs, you were right. I mean, the only player that would have been worthy, I think, of consideration would have been Max Muncy. And I have no problem with the person that got chosen ahead of him in Freddie Freeman of the Braves.
I can't agree with you, though, on Buster Posey. To me, this is a no-brainer. And as far as Yadi Molina goes, Molina is one of the best defensive catchers in the game. I don't think there's any question. But when you look at what Buster Posey has done so far this year. He's slashing 418 and 560 with 12 home runs. And then you take a look at what Molina's doing at the plate. He's batting really a pedestrian 249 with a slugging percentage of under 300. I don't know that Yadi's defensive presence really outweighs what Buster Posey has done at the offensive side of the ball. And while I continue to expect the San Francisco Giants to falter, I do not believe they finish as one of the top two teams in the National League. A lot of the reason why they are where they are at right now is because of the reemergence of Buster Posey, who is finally healthy. So in my mind, Buster Posey, that's a slam dunk.
Okay. All right. So 2 points on that. Number one, I'm a Yadier Molina fan. And number two, I hate everything about San Francisco. So that's just where my bias lies. I'm okay with that.
As far as All-Star Weekend goes, Major League Baseball, in my mind, it is the best now of the major professional sports. I don't think there's any question, right? So I actually enjoy talking about it because the NBA All-Star Game has become a joke. The Pro Bowl is absolutely atrocious. They should do away with it. Major League Baseball is the best All-Star Weekend that we have.
I agree. And, you know, to that point, you've got the Home Run Derby, which I'm looking forward to it. I think the idea of the Shohei Ohtani factor in there, I'm looking forward to the Home Run Derby. I know Fernando Tatis is not going to participate, which I understand that. Obviously, he's been dealing with the shoulder injury that has been plaguing him for not just this season, but as we found out, he might have been dealing with that injury for quite some time now. I have no problem with him not being in it, but I'm looking forward to the All-Star Weekend. I'm looking forward to a Home Run Derby. I think that'll be fun. And, you know, it's funny when you started the segment off by talking about how NBA games are sporadic right now and Major League Baseball is going to become the big thing. I have a friend of mine who was kind of griping about the fact that, oh, we're getting to that time of year where baseball is the only sport on TV. Maybe if you watched it, you know, maybe if you were watching baseball, because there are some phenomenal stories right now. The Jacob DeGrom story is phenomenal. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is phenomenal. Fernando Tatis story is phenomenal. There are guys out there who are doing things right now. You've got three of the most historically relevant teams in the history of the sport that are sitting on top, or if not there, at least a half game near the top of their division. The Giants, the Dodgers, and the Red Sox. Three of the most historically relevant teams in the history of the sport happen to be on top of their divisions right now. If you can't get into baseball right now, I can't help you. That's always been my argument about this time of year. Oh, well, there's no basketball on. I wasn't watching basketball anyway, so I wasn't missing anything. So I'm totally fine with the fact that you're going to be inundated with baseball for the next month. If you can't, you know, then golly gee, then you get preseason football. That's exciting.
Well, look, I will miss basketball. I will miss it dearly when it is gone. However, I can't stress this enough, and I feel like I've said this a million times over the last couple of months. I cannot recall the last time we have had a Major League Baseball season provide the entertainment, the drama, and the storylines that this one has so far. We have playoff vibes in April, May, and June up to this point in time of the season. I mean, this has been one of the most phenomenal baseball seasons that I can remember. And Steve, to anyone who is a casual baseball fan, or maybe you're just looking to get into it, I repeat again, there is nothing like West Coast baseball. If the Dodgers are not your flavor, you have the Padres. If that's not your flavor, the Oakland A's have been highly entertaining. I watch the Oakland A's every chance I get so far this season. And the Angels, they may be a ways back, but you're looking at one of the best players in the world in Shohei Ohtani. This is the season for baseball.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we'll go back a second here to the, you know, the discussion about, you know, the All-Star snubs. There's got to be a way of doing this ballot thing better when the fans are allowed to vote online, because the fact that Mike Trout, who hasn't played a game in how long now, is on the roster, made the number one spot, there's got to be a way to fix that. Like, yes, I get it, he's a really talented player. He's not playing. So how does he get a start? He's on the 60-day injured list. He's not eligible to come back to the All-Star break. How do you put him on? How does that even pass muster?
Steve Bortstein, again, our guest right now here on Drive Time Sports.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong at all. But, I will say this. In terms of players getting in games that don't belong, I go back and I look at the NBA All-Star Game. Let me give you an example here on the NBA All-Star Game. 1992, we got to see Magic Johnson in the NBA All-Star Game. Didn't play a single game. The fans wanted to watch him. Right? The fans had that in their hands where they got to watch him. Okay, and it was spectacular. He put on a show.
But he was going to play, right? Mike Trout's not going to play. He was never going to play. He's got the injury. He's not playing. How does he get on the roster? I understand the Magic Johnson argument, but Magic was going to play.
Well, okay, so what you're saying
Trout's
is
not.
What you're saying is if you're not going to play, you should not be on the All-Star list. That's what you're saying. If you're not going to play.
Yes.
Okay.
Not going to play. And it was fairly obvious that when the minute he went on the 60-day injured list, because mathematics and a calendar should tell you, oh, he's not going to be eligible to play, he shouldn't be on the roster. He shouldn't be on the ballot.
We'll end on that note. Steve Bornstein, always a pleasure to get you on the show. Thank you.
Anytime, my friend. Thank you.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We'll talk NBA basketball. The Milwaukee Bucks take a commanding 3-2 lead with a win last night. It's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.
At Price Pediatric Dental, they help patients stay in excellent oral health. With a focus on preventative care, Dr. Markham, Dr. Lund, and Dr. Bott will take the time to get to know each of their patients and create a plan for lifelong oral health. Proper dental care in children's teeth will set the groundwork for a healthy set of permanent adult teeth in the future. We recommend that you visit their dental office twice a year, keeping your child's mouth healthy and clean. Call 637-9590 to schedule an appointment today.
The weather may be getting warmer, but things are cooling off at the coffee shop on Main Street in Price. Take a break from your day and cool off with one of their refreshing summer drinks, like a delicious frozen lemonade, cold and sweet with just enough tang. Or try a coconut cream cold brew, a tasty balance of rich coffee and creamy sweetness. In the mood for a traditional summer favorite? Try their fresh lime. The taste of summer can be found now at the coffee shop on Main Street in Price.
Mom, what's for dinner?
Is it really 5 o'clock already? This time of year makes it impossible to get home and get dinner started. By the time I drop everyone off at soccer practice and baseball practice, it's time to turn around and pick everyone up again. Who has time to worry about dinner? But that doesn't mean the kids don't get hungry.
Mom, let's go to KFC.
That is a perfect idea. With KFC, I can still serve my kids a delicious hot meal with chicken, potatoes, and even a vegetable on those days when cooking dinner just isn't on the agenda. KFC for the win.
If you're interested in finishing your degree or continuing your education, Utah State University Eastern has plenty of options. We offer 28 bachelor's degrees, including elementary education, RN to BSN, psychology, and management. USU Eastern has support and resources such as advising, financial aid, and local faculty to make returning to school easier. For more information about our degree programs, please visit usueastern.edu/degrees.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Yesterday here on Drive Time Sports, we talked Emory High School golf. Today we'll flip it. We'll talk Carbon High School. Season's not that far off. It'll be the first fall sport to begin in 2021. And we are a little over a month away. Things have changed a little bit as well in the 3A classification with the latest realignment. The new region for Carbon and Emory a tad bit different. We're going to talk about that as well, plus the momentum built last year for this Carbon squad. Again, right now over the phone we have Coach Robbie Etzel, who is entering year number two. Coach, pleasure. Thank you.
Yep, I appreciate the opportunity to come on here and talk about the upcoming season. So,
I know there's a lot of excitement, Coach. That is for sure. In fact, you guys, you'll return a state champion. There's not too many schools in 3A classification that can say that.
No, and I know I'd be speaking truthfully if I wasn't saying that. I'm sure Bodie's excited going into this season, going to defend his state title that he won last year. So. Like I've told him, he's just got to go out and do this year exactly what he did last year. The course is different, but the pressure's still the same. So,
yeah, Coach, you know, I get to talk to Bodie about 2 months ago when we were doing the Carbon ESPY Awards, and the conversation was kind of built around the work ethic. And Bodie had mentioned, look, I lose tournaments all the time. It's not a big deal to me. Swing big, miss big, that's the way I play the game. I'm paraphrasing. It was something along the lines of that nature. When you have someone like that around your team all the time, it's got to be contagious. At least I would think so.
Yeah, Jordan, it definitely is. I've noticed just, I think, the kids having the opportunity to play along Bodie last season and then see him come out and win a state title, it really gives them an extra drive. Especially this year, I've noticed that I have a lot of the younger kids, a lot of juniors that are trying to play in more state-sponsored tournaments. I have a lot of kids that are coming out to play in the Black Diamond in the upcoming week. So it definitely gets them to be a little more competitive and take things a little more seriously when you have such a good player on the team.
And I'm sure it helps, Coach, that you'll pretty much return everyone from last year's team. And I know as far as the team is concerned, state tournament didn't go as planned. There's always such high expectations for Carbon High School when you get to the state tournament. But knowing that everyone on this team literally gained that championship experience, I'm sure you couldn't ask for anything more.
No, it makes a big difference when you're not trying to fill gaps in your roster, especially since you can bring eight guys to a tournament and you're counting half of those scores. It makes a big difference when you can have kids who have been in a situation. At least they have some prior knowledge about some of these courses. I know it's a little different this year where they've shaken up our region a little bit. We'll be playing in a couple places that aren't as familiar to us. But it does make a huge difference when you have kids that are at least confident going into some of these matches against these other schools.
I'm sure it makes it easier for you as well. Here you were, Coach, last year. You were actually hired fairly late, so it wasn't as if you had a full year to prepare for this. And then, of course, you had the COVID restrictions as well. So I'm sure things are probably just a little bit more at ease for you this year.
Yeah, 100%. Last year was just craziness. Find out that they were trying to fill that gap. Of course, they lost Brett Johnson, who was a great asset to the team, great guy. Took on a job with a little more responsibility, so he had to step down from his coaching position. So I was honored to kind of step in and regroup these kids, and it was a bit of a learning curve for myself as well, being my first year as a coach. So going into this year, I've definitely learned a lot from last season, and I'm hoping I can take some of that knowledge that I've gained personally and to help these kids excel even more in the upcoming season.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Robbie Etzel of the Carbon Dino Golf Squad as we talk about the upcoming 2021 season. Coach, I guess it's pushed back a week or two. Last year we were starting in July, if memory serves me right. It's typically been the start time, but now we're looking at an early August start. So between now and then, what are you doing to prepare your team or prepare yourself for the upcoming season?
So personally, for myself, I've noticed that our roster of upcoming tournaments is a little different. It's something that I'm not used to. We're going to be playing down in Cedar City this year at Canyon Ridge, which is a course that I'm not too familiar with. The state tournament will also be up in Ochre Hills, if I'm not mistaken, up in Tooele. So I'm trying to get a leg up on everybody to go down and at least play these courses so I'm familiar with them, familiar with the conditions of the course. And I think for our kids, it's just trying to get out there and fine-tune those swings now, because once we start tryouts on the 19th, I think there's 2 weeks, and then we start August 4th is our first match in Cedar City, and then it seems like every 6 days, about once a week, we have a tournament back-to-back-to-back, so it goes quick. But it makes a big difference to have your swing and your game figured out and be on top of any issues that might come up.
You mentioned some of the new sites, Coach. This year, Canyon View Grand, Richfield, Emory, Carbon, that's the region. A little different than what we've seen in years past. And I know 3A will look a little different as well this year. First off, what was your take on the new region?
You know what? I don't have an issue with it. I think my boys are conditioned well to play down in Richfield. Richfield has a very nice course, plays very similarly to Carbon Country Club. Grand also does an extremely great job at keeping their course in good shape. So I'm excited with a bit of a shakeup. I know I would be speaking for the entire team that we're not heartbroken that we don't have to go down to San Juan and play their course down there. It had a tendency to eat some of my boys up and cause some pretty big holes. So I think it'll be a good shakeup, and I think for the most part, myself and the boys are pretty excited about the new region.
When you mentioned San Juan, it's more about the course than the drive. At least that's what I took from what you just said.
It's a beautiful drive. Yeah, it's a beautiful area, but I mean, it is a nasty golf course if you can't hit the ball straight, that's for sure.
Coach, taking a look at the schedule again, you mentioned July 19th, you're going to have tryouts. What will that look like for you this year, and how many kids do you anticipate on keeping?
That's something that I've kind of discussed just back and forth with the boys. I like to keep enough kids where, like I said, when you're losing seniors, you can kind of fill those gaps. And I know I have a lot of juniors on the team, so I'm trying to think going forward, maybe not next year, but the year after, what the team's going to consist of and what it's going to look like. Typically, it's usually around 12. You take 8 to the tournament, so, and that keeps it nice for having 3 groups of 4 when you're going out and playing. So I'm just going to kind of have to wait and see what we have for the turnout for both days for tryouts. But from what I've kind of heard, I'm expecting to see quite a large group of boys come to tryouts this year, which is exciting to see that there's so many people excited about joining the golf team and being part of the Carbon High sport program.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Coach, what does the junior programs look like here in Carbon County? I know there's been a huge growth in numbers in Emory County. Is that similar here in Carbon?
I think it's just across the board. I've really noticed. I've had an opportunity to speak to pros out of the Salt Lake Valley. I think it's just kind of a nationwide trend right now. You're seeing a lot of interest in young kids in the game with the game of golf. Which is great. I love to see that. I also know that incorporating a golf team at the middle school level has made a huge impact as well. It's one of those sports, and I'm sure I've told you this before, Jordan, I think the sooner you kind of pick it up, the more natural it is for you to become a great golfer. It definitely makes it a lot easier for yourself. And I see it just kind of statewide as well, too. State of Utah produces some fantastic golfers. There's a lot of kids that go from playing high school golf and end up playing for the University of Utah, UVU, Utah State. So that's great to see that across all age groups, and especially in the younger age groups, that there's a growing interest in the game of golf.
Yeah, no doubt. And it probably eases your mind a little bit knowing that you have such a heavy senior class next season.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always good to see younger kids stepping up to fill those, like I said, those gaps that you're eventually going to run into. That's something that I struggled with. I mean, geez, it's been years since I was on the high school team, but when you don't have consistently a consistent gap between seniors and juniors and sophomores, sometimes it's hard to put a cohesive team together. And though golf is an individual sport, it is also a team sport. So it makes it a lot easier when you have plenty of kids to choose from when you're qualifying for matches every week.
Coach, only having one senior on the team this year, and I know Brandon Scoville was a kid that you did rely on quite a bit last year. Does his role change, or is this group so close-knit and knows the lay of the land so well that you don't worry about that?
I don't worry too much. I got, you know, there's a lot of these kids that are on the team. They work out at the golf course. They're familiar with, the game. They know that the only way that they're going to get better is to just play as much as you can and practice when the time allows for it. So I think they know what they're getting themselves into in the upcoming season. They definitely know what my expectations are, and I'm just hoping that they can kind of help me pass those expectations down to the freshmen who are going to be joining us this upcoming season.
Well, Coach, I'm definitely looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun. Hopefully we can catch up again before the start of the season, because it's always great to get you on the show. I really appreciate the time.
Yep, of course, Jordan. It's always a pleasure, and I appreciate you having us on.
That's Coach Robbie Etzel again of the Carbon High School Golf Squad. We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports on the way when we return. It's right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Your daughter just got invited to the prom. Do you A, meet her date?
I need to see your past date report cards, your driver's license, a list of references, and this hair sample.
B, help her pick out a dress.
Don't you just love the long sleeves and turtleneck on this pantsuit?
Ugh.
C. Attend the prom undercover.
Mom, what are you doing here?
I'm not mom. I'm Calvin, the new kid at school.
Or D. Capture her big moment.
Let's take a photo of you two. I'm in the middle.
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org, a public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The lazy days of summer are here. Wait, who gets lazy days in the summer? Like you, most people have a long list of summer home improvement projects, and Central Commission on Main Street in Helper is dedicated to making sure your summer projects are done right. Quickcrete repair products, swamp cooler replacement parts, power tools, and lumber surplus are just a few of the things you will find at Central Commission. With over 50 years of experience, Central Commission should be your first stop before starting your next home improvement project.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Time for that Wednesday baseball conversation. The season's just hitting different right now. It just feels great to be late June talking Major League Baseball with a lot of excitement and everything that we've seen over the past close to mid-80 games. Joining us right now, as he is every week to talk Major League Baseball, we have Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher, and now spends his time as an analyst for the Giants doing pre- and post-game shows at KMBR. Bill, great to get you back on today. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a good day. Last day of June, and we go into July with the All-Star break coming up in a couple weeks. Should be fun in Colorado. The Home Run Derby, of course, is going to be magnificent at that ballpark. But they finally gave the Futures game, and a couple Giants are on there. Luciano, which is a 19-year-old shortstop, and Ramos, who's a 21-year-old outfielder. Some real positive names. There's some real quality young players that will be playing in that Futures game. It's just an exciting time of the year, halfway through the year, as we get to the 83 mark game, and then we go from there. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, that Futures game, once upon a time, you'd see these guys in 3, 4, maybe 5 years. Now there's a great chance you'll see these kids in this Futures game next season.
Yeah, and that's what's great about it. I'm glad they did that. You know, what's kind of goofy is I think the Major League Baseball draft is the same day the Futures game is, which is kind of goofy. But again, a lot of things that Major League Baseball is doing right now is goofy. It's just not, you know, it's not thought out. I just think it's quick reaction on a lot of this stuff. And, you know, that's what I think is, we talked about last week, putting a black eye on baseball. They got to get this thing together. They got to move forward a little bit better than what they're doing.
You know, the amazing thing, though, Bill, right now, and I agree with that, and you and I have complained about, be it replay, be it this new check on the pitchers, the way they handle the Houston Astros. I mean, over the last year or two, we've had plenty to complain about with Major League Baseball. But as I'm watching this Dodgers-Giants game last night, a quick two-game series between these two squads, the best in the NL West against the second best, and this division boasts the three best teams in the National League right now, I don't recall the last time we had playoff vibes in April, May, and June. And that's what this baseball season has brought us. So with all the controversy, with all the things that purists of the game don't like, I'm really seeing a level of ball at this stage in the season that I haven't seen in quite some time, and it's great for the game.
It sure is, and the NL West is definitely the top three teams. The Giants, of course, faltered in both those games, and they really lost those games in the first inning. DeSclafani gave up two home runs, and then Gausman, which blew me away, walked five guys, and in those five games, he walked two, hit by pitch in the first inning, and then Taylor gets an inside-out pitch, mislocation, and pumps it down the right field line. And pretty much, they couldn't touch Buehler, they couldn't touch Bauer, and then the bullpen came in, Jensen got two quick saves, but two good ball games. You know, it wasn't a blowout. The Giants were 0-for-19 with runners in scoring position in both those games, and you sure aren't going to win too many games like that.
No, and outside of the Dodgers and the Giants, which again, I mean, if you mix it with the Dodgers and the Padres, we have had some great, great baseball. But Bill, sticking in the NL West, I want to go to what almost happened last night in Coors Field, almost a no-hitter at Coors. And I know that we talk a lot about the balls flying out of the park, and it's a perfect place for a home run derby. It's going to be really, really exciting. But as a former pitcher yourself, What type of level of stuff does a guy have to take a no-hitter into the ninth inning at Coors Field?
Well, I tell you what, you know, when you start looking at all the dimensions of pitchers that pitch there, you definitely have to have a lot of off-speed stuff, and you got to have some kind of movement down because you can't elevate the fastball and think you're going to get it by a lot of guys. So I always look at, you know, Hideo Nomo, who threw the first no-hitter there, was just spectacular with all the junk he threw and the off-speed pitch and the breaking ball. Marquis yesterday was throwing a lot of the same, a lot of sliders, curveballs, mixed in fastballs. I saw the count of when he threw different pitches, and he was pretty much all over the board. It wasn't one direct pitch, but to go in the ninth inning with a no-hitter, that's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, I thought it was a nice story for Rocky fans. You know, you don't necessarily expect the Pirates and the Rockies at this stage in the season to bring you much intrigue unless you're a fan of either one of those teams. But that was definitely something I had to tune in and watch last night to see Marquise actually have the opportunity. I mean, two outs away in the ninth inning. That was a fun storyline last night. Bill, outside of that, and I know we're jumping all over the place, we'll come back to the NL in a moment, but I have to mention this before I forget. The fact that Shohei Ohtani, who has to be a front runner for the MVP in the AL, goes to Yankee Stadium for the first time. And even though it wasn't the outcome that the Angels preferred last night, this guy is literally hitting the hell out of the balls. He goes yard twice last night against the Yankees.
He sure is. He's putting a show on. And, you know, when the Giants played the Angels, they didn't throw one ball knee high. They took everything belting up and they elevated it, and they struck him out more than he even made contact. What these pitchers are doing, they're going down in the zone, and with his arms and how he swings, the swing path, that's such a dramatic pitch for him. He doesn't miss that pitch. And some of the home run balls are really hit pretty good. I mean, to go into New York never getting a hit in his first ball that he sees, he hits a home run, that was pretty cool. And I tell you what, for a young kid going into the New York stadium and with all the fans there and him being on the spotlight, he definitely put a show on.
Yeah, it's spectacular to see. I mean, it really, really is. And I know that there was, I guess we could say there was doubt about Ohtani just based off of the injuries and the hype that came along with it when he signed with the Angels. Now that he's healthy, this is a rare, rare breed of a player that I don't think I've ever seen anything like it, Bill. I mean, I'm not saying he's the greatest player I've ever seen. Let's not get that twisted. But I don't think I've seen anything like this.
Yeah, and you know, you wonder just how dynamic that lineup would be if Trout was in it also, because the way Ohtani's hitting, and then you have Trout's injured, of course. I mean, how good the Angels would be, and of course their pitching is always secondary, a 500 club if that. Again, this guy is really putting MLB on his back. I mean, him and Tatis Jr. are two of your outstanding young players, and both of them are bringing the spotlight. But MLB needs to do it a little bit more for them. And I think they need to put them on covers and TV shows and get them out there for the youth to understand, hey, here's a couple dynamic players that are young players that are lighting the MLB light up every time they come up. Everybody's stopping to watch these guys play. And they're putting a show on. And I can't wait to see the All-Star game with both of them in it. And, of course, Ohtani's in the home run derby. That's going to be fun.
You mentioned the marketing, and Bill, Mike Trout could go down as the greatest baseball player that we have ever seen, but he doesn't have the flair. He goes out, he plays the game, and he goes home. I mean, it's really simple. You don't see a lot of antics coming out of Mike Trout, and I wonder if that has hurt his marketability. When you talk about putting these two young players in front of an audience, Ohtani may be a little bit more difficult for kids in this country to relate to, but Tatis will not be, because this guy has a flair for the dramatics. He plays this new style with the bat flips and the trot when he hits his home runs. This guy right here is the marketing goldmine that I think Major League Baseball has been waiting for.
And you know what else you can add there? It's emotion. You know, Tatis Jr. shows emotion. He shows the flair. Ohtani a little bit, you see him smiling here, but I'm right with you. Trout doesn't have that. Trout doesn't kind of put himself on a pedestal. He just goes out there and works, plays hard, puts the numbers up. Of course, the injury this year really has sidelined him. But you start looking at the dramatic stuff, and Tatis Jr. is that guy. And, you know, that's why, you know, when you start looking at ballots for the All-Star game and you start looking at the high-quality ballot guys, and those are the ones fans remember because they see him on ESPN, MLB, and they're in the news and things like that. That's what Major League Baseball needs to do, not with those couple guys. They need to do it with each team. They need to get on board with some of these young players and push them out in front so there's more young kids that want to play baseball. I just don't think they're doing it the right way. And you and I have always talked about marketing and how MLB is on the back page from the NFL and even the NBA. You know, they need to do something more. They need to get this out during the summer when kids want to play baseball, especially with the pandemic last year when all the yards and fields were all closed. They couldn't play. This is the summer. They should try to, you know, applaud the fans, do something for the fans, get them back to the ballpark, and to also and get these players to do something for the fans, even if it's signing autographs, doing a photo op. They need to do something in MLB to get that ratified.
Again, our guest right now, Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher, now an analyst for the Giants. We'll talk more about Bill's work here in just a moment. Bill, speaking of players that have been exciting as of late, I mean, the Washington Nationals are one of the hottest teams in Major League Baseball. They've won 8 out of 10, and Kyle Schwarber has now hit 12 home runs over his last 10 games. Now, the historical significance behind that, that ties Albert Bell for the most home runs over a 10-game span in Major League Baseball history. 1995 is when Bell did this. What a tear for Kyle Schwarber. And honestly, you can relate the momentum and the success of Schwarber with what the Nationals have done. This was a team, once again, that I wasn't writing off completely, but you looked at them 2 weeks ago, they were battling at the bottom of this NL East. Here they are now, just three games back of the New York Mets.
Absolutely. And, you know, a couple weekends ago, the Giants went there, played four games, split four games with them, and they only scored three runs, and they beat them 2 out of 4. Schwarber was just starting to get hot then, and what tear he's done. I mean, he is hitting right field like a golf ball, some of those balls he's hitting out. And of course, yesterday, leading off the game, I think it was first pitch or second pitch, he hits another one out. He is on a tear, and that's what he can do. We saw that in Chicago a couple of years where he was pretty consistent. But not like this. I mean, he's getting the ball down, and he's driving the ball out. And it's definitely waking up the Nationals because they're playing better. And when you start seeing that, are they going to be sellers? Because a week ago, they were talking about selling some of their major parts. Now, are they going to be buyers? That's what the change is going to happen here in the next couple of weeks. Who's going to get hot? Who's going to kind of fall backwards? Now they're talking about the Cubs maybe selling. You know, but nobody knows, and that's going to be interesting because the trade deadline is July 30th. It comes down on a Sunday, not the Monday, the 31st. There's going to be some action. We saw that with Toronto. We saw it with Miami just recently, and I think you're going to see a little more early trading than late.
Bill, and I don't want to jump to conclusions, and I don't want hyperbole here, but when I look at what the Nationals have done and looking as to where they were just a couple of weeks ago, and I go back over the last couple of years, I really have to wonder if Davey Martinez is one of the elite managers in the game. And I say that because I can't pinpoint another team that doesn't pack it in, hasn't packed it in over the last couple of years, because Washington's had every excuse to do it. If it was the injuries to Strasburg, if it was losing Bryce Harper, if it was relying on the arm of Max Scherzer, if it was Patrick Corbin really just losing his way after a massive free agent signing, whatever it's been, there's been a number of reasons for this team to fold over the last couple of seasons, and it seems like Martinez has a great grasp on that, and I don't know if he gets enough credit in Washington.
Yeah, I would have to look at that too. You know, when you see him World Series champions, and then the next couple of years, you're right. He's had so many different hurdles from the starting rotation, even to the bullpen, trying to pick up arms left and right. And then you start looking at the people that are on the field. There's been a lot of changes, and he's in the middle of it. And that's when you do look at a manager and say, how can he contend? How can he continue to keep that positive look? And then, you know, when you change the direction of it, you look at the Orioles or the Diamondbacks or even Colorado, how do these managers try to get these teams to compete when they're 20, 30 games under 500 already? So it is tough, but at the same time, I see your point about Dave, because he has gone through this, and he's come out pretty good. And again, they're starting to get hot again, and here it is, All-Star break.
Yeah, and it's not a knock on Dave Roberts. It's not a knock on Jace Tingler. But when I look at the talent that the Dodgers and the Padres have, I don't want to say it's easy, but look at what Kapler has done in San Francisco. Let's look at what Martinez has done in Washington. It's a little bit different territory when you don't have the depth and the talent of the Dodgers and the Padres.
And that's what's coming down to it. You know, going back to this Dodger-Giants series, it really came to the depth on the bench, and the Giants are very short on the bench. And that's where I think they're going to try to get strength off of. And, you know, when you're looking at Talkman coming in to pinch hit, batting a buck 65, Caselli hitting buck 80, Slater hitting 205, and that's your bench. And you're going to try to come up in different parts of the game with runners in scoring position, and they just don't have the contact hitters that they need. And then you start looking at the Dodgers, the Padres. You know, you could go to Milwaukee, whose their team batting average is 215, but yet they're playing better. The Yankees scuffling. They have no bench. I mean, you start looking at the depth of some of the good teams compared to some of them that are trying to be good teams, and I think that's what it comes down to it. And you're right on. Washington has some depth. They've put some different players in different positions, and it's come through. So I think that's what teams are going to look for. We always talk about 40-man roster. We talked about last show about having a 55- or 60-man roster because it goes in. And I just think right now, besides that, I think you're going to see more teams try to strengthen their bench with some good pinch hitters and strengthen their bullpen with some guys that could be middle relief, setup guys, and maybe steal a closer here and there if teams are going to sell their closers.
Bill Lasky, again, our guest, former big league pitcher, now working with the San Francisco Giants as an analyst on KMBR. Bill, I look forward to these conversations each week. I mean, we could sit here and talk for an hour or two, I know, about the game. Before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find your work and some of the great stuff you're doing at KMBR, because, well, your guest list has just been out of this world.
It's been fun, and again, I'm popping another one up there. Last week I had Sergio Romo and Andrew Bailey, a pitching coach for the Giants this weekend. Got Bob Brenly, who was in the news recently, and we talked a little bit about that. But at the same time, he was my teammate for 5 years with the Giants and World Series champion. And then you go to Monday when the Giants play the Cardinals, and Ozzie Smith's going to join me for an interview. So it's all on KMBR, the sports leader here. You can stream it off your computer, and you can also go to all KMBR podcasts and take a look at some of the other work that I've done and pick up some of the other interviews. But it's been fun. It's a baseball season, and I like to enlighten fans on different things from, you know, older guys, alumni guys, Hall of Famer guys, to active guys, and that's been fun putting these things together.
Yeah, it's been fun talking with you each week, Bill. I look forward to doing it again next week. Appreciate the time.
Excellent. Have a good week, and I'll talk to you then.
Let's take one more quick commercial break. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. It's right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Internet is the backbone of your business, and like the ideal employee, your internet connection needs to be fast, reliable, and always ready for what's next. And wait, did we mention fast? Now, small to medium-sized businesses can afford high-speed data access with eFiber from Emory Telecom. Imagine being able to connect your entire office to the internet at speeds only large corporations could afford in the past. Give Emory Telecom a call, 613-9605, and connect your business to eFiber today.
You've never been in an accident, but suddenly you find yourself with a wrecked vehicle and no idea what to do next. Take your vehicle to the number one trusted body shop in Castle Country, AJ's Body and Paint. For over 40 years, AJ's Body and Paint has been the place that people in Castle Country turn to when they need to get their vehicle repaired after an accident. They were even voted the best one-stop auto shop in Carbon County. Find out for yourself what makes AJ's different from the other guys. Call 637-2060.
This is Eastern Utah's news and weather station, 107.3 FM and 750 AM, KOAL, Price.